Hello, Career Cohort. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Emily Wong, founder of Words of Distinction. We talk about tools for achieving career success, inspirational stories about overcoming career and life challenges, and how we can recalibrate our perspective to better enjoy the journey forward. Hi there. Today I'm talking to Linda McDonald, and Linda is a certified financial coach and life coach specializing in empowering female professionals and business owners. She helps clients take control of their money and their thoughts to reduce their anxiety around finances by teaching them how to think abundantly, to plan, and to use money as a tool to level up not just wealth, but all aspects of their lives. Linda works one-on-one with her clients to truly understand where their money is going. She empowers clients to see what's possible by reducing debt, saving for the things that are important, and planning ahead in a personalized and sustainable way. So welcome, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Linda, I know you work with a variety of clients. Some are gainfully employed and really are probably just trying to get their head around being more disciplined when it comes to finances. And on the other side, you have clients who are going through a more stressful time, and that's a career transition, probably a higher level of vulnerability, maybe more anxiety. And that's what we're going to talk about today, right? So I'd love to hear kind of baseline, when you're starting to engage with these clients, where do you start from?
That's a great question, Emily. And where I start first is how they are thinking and feeling about their money, because that is going to set the stage for what's ahead. And because if they're feeling incredibly anxious, incredibly stressed, the tendency for us when we feel that way is we can only look, you know, one step ahead, right? You're walking along the sidewalk, you are looking at every crack in the sidewalk. That is what you're looking at. Whereas if you're feeling a little more hopeful, your chin's a little higher and you're looking a little farther along that sidewalk and you're able to see some things coming up ahead. You're not constantly just looking at what's right in front of you. So it's really important when I start working with clients who are going through that transition is really to get that baseline first with how they're thinking and feeling to know what we have to, where we're starting from going forward. Then we'll get an awareness of their, you know, I'll call it their dollars and cents, right? Where their money's at, where, not just what's in their bank account, right? But what they own, all the things that they have, all of their assets, all of their savings, what their debts are, and how they spend on a monthly basis, because that's going to be really important, because there's things that we spend that are essential, right? Like our food, our housing, our utilities, like those are all essential. But then there's things where maybe we can look at them and see if we can cut back or prioritize. I don't like to look at making choices as being restrictive. I like to look at them as making prioritization choices for what they want for the future. Mm-hmm.
You know, first of all, I love your analogy of the sidewalk and then putting your chin up and looking further down, because it really is the long game, right?
Absolutely.
So I would love to hear when you're working with them and you're kind of laying things out and the planning process, do you start with that low-hanging fruit? They may not know it's low-hanging fruit, but the things that you start with where they can start cutting costs.
We do spend some time looking at that for sure. But like I said, we actually put everything out on the table first, mm-hmm. because sometimes you have to, you know, knock it down a little bit to rebuild it. And you, when everything's out there, you can say, you can do that prioritization exercise. And I have them do the prioritization. It's not me telling them all the things they should cut, because they take ownership over it when they make those choices, right? Say something that is important to you might not be important to the next person and vice versa, right? Some people really value going out to dinner, for instance. Maybe it's the one time in a couple's week that they connect with each other because they're really busy. They've got, you know, children running around the house, and that is their like valuable date night. Whereas some people, you know, might spend money on dining out just because they're in a rush and they haven't taken the time to, you know, do grocery shopping and prioritize that way. So when we actually have them talk about really what's important to them and why, they start to make those decisions. But also we do look at the low-hanging fruit. We do look at, you know, what is it that's happening in their money that they could make quick decisions with, because part of finding success with your money is creating small wins. And so some of those low-hanging fruit that we can pick off, and I find subscriptions are usually the first place to start, is we tend to get caught up, you know, we sign up for something and then it just keeps charging and we forget about it. And that's where you can create some small wins by just taking little bits out, as long as they feel that that is something where they can create value, right? And by creating value, I mean they're creating wealth because it's money they're not spending. So that inadvertently creates value, right? Because they were spending money on something that was unintentional. Right. And so that is one of the first places I find that we start, but definitely one of those places where we can grab some quick wins.
I really appreciate the fact that you are letting your client determine what is important, because that's something where we could come in there with a, you know, with a saw and just like start cutting things and just like just lopping things off with mindlessly, right? But as a coach, you're really giving that sense of ownership to them. I love that. And it's funny that you're talking about subscriptions, because there's a great article, and I'm going to include this in the show notes. It's from Consumer Reports. And they said almost a quarter of American households subscribe to 9 or more streaming services. And half subscribe to 4 or more. And the thing is, with those services, we're not locked into an annual contract. So we can, you know, decide, okay. And even if we say, oh, I want to watch this, and you and I are definitely not ones to tell someone they can't have their escapism, right? That's a really important part, right?
No, of course
You know, so maybe there's something on Hulu we want to watch. So we have Hulu, and maybe then we have that for a month, whatever that is. And then we can move on and use a different one. We have 2 services. And I have to give that credit to my husband, because if I had signed up for these things, I would have forgotten about them. And he kind of on a regular basis, he will go through and he'll say, he talks to me, he talks to our kids. What do we really need here? And what's the purpose? And I appreciate that. Because that's not my skill set.
Right. Well, let me give you a little tip in that department. So one thing that I do that I teach a lot of my clients with subscriptions is when you sign up for a subscription, cancel it the next day. Because what will happen is it'll last for, you know, the month usually. And then a lot of times, you know, we might have forgotten about it. And it's like, okay, well, then if you bought into, you know, Hulu because there was a certain series that you want to watch. So you binge watch the series and then you're on another series that's on another streaming service. Well, then that subscription will fall off and then you might even forget about it.
Yes. Yeah.
So sometimes it's easier to like to say, you know, we protect ourselves from ourselves, where we set things up in such a way that we know we're busy. We know we don't have time to always keep track of what we're spending. And so if we just do something like that, sometimes the decision just naturally is made for us. And if it's that important to us, you resubscribe. And it's not a big deal and it's not a problem, but it also hasn't been putting pressure on your bank account for the, you know, X number of months that you weren't using it.
Yeah, exactly. And it really is okay. This article by Consumer Reports is wonderful. It's from September 8th. And I recommend it because, you know, they make us feel good. Like, it's okay to do the free subscription and then cancel it. It really is okay. It's not like you're doing anything unethical.
No.
And then there are other things like with your phone. you can, people pay for their insurance, or they're talked into paying for that insurance, but you could be banking that money for a new phone. If something really does happen to your phone, you could be banking mm-hmm. that money, right? We don't necessarily always need that latest phone model. And I think one of the things that we started doing is, you know, we used to get our new phone when we would update our subscription, mm-hmm. but then you're locked into that subscription with your carrier. So
correct.
So many correct. Areas.
There really are a lot of areas, and a lot of it involves just thinking ahead, right? Mm-hmm. So even like, say, if you take an example of buying a phone with a carrier, right? And that's not a problem if that's what you want to do.
Right.
But I like to ask people to look into their future selves. So 6 months from now, a year from now, are you going to be glad that you did that? Or are you going to feel frustrated because you might want to look at another option or another carrier, mm-hmm. but you put yourself in a position where you can't do that? And so that is something that I encourage people to think of, is where do you want to be a year from now, especially when you're going through transition, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you think you want to, you know, a year from now, maybe you want to be reemployed. Maybe you want to be well on your way to creating your own business on your own, whatever it is. How do you want to look back on this time of transition? Mm-hmm. So, because if you think about it that way, and you think about looking back at yourself and then making choices from that place, it's still very forward looking, right?
Yeah.
Because you're looking into the future and saying, will I be glad that I hung on to that subscription for something? Will I be glad that I, you know, maybe didn't cancel my gym membership that's close to the job that I used to work with,
mm-hmm. oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because that happens a lot, right? Mm-hmm. They've got gym memberships close to their office and they're like, well, I might end up going back there. But a year from now, will you be glad that you did that? Or would you be glad that maybe you saved that money mm-hmm. so that you're less stressed about this transition period, right? Like, what is it we're trying to create? We're trying to create clarity with your money. We're trying to mm-hmm. create less stress, trying to create security. I mean, those are common things that we're all trying to achieve. And so if you think of the choices you're making in that context, it becomes so much clearer and easier to make them. And it doesn't feel like you're taking all the fun things away. You're prioritizing some really big nuggets in your life.
And you make a really good point. It's kind of like in a company where a new employee will come in and say, why do you do this? Because this doesn't, I mean, obviously you're not being harsh about it. You're asking those probing questions, which are important. And because at one point that process worked really well, and
right.
maybe those expenses, like you're talking about that gym that used to be near their old employer, but now that doesn't make sense anymore. So I think that's really, really helpful. And I could use like those kind of conversations too, for me to look at, okay, what's working now? And in my own business, I pay for subscriptions all the time. And I have to continually reevaluate, is this working? Do I need this? No, probably not. So I need to get rid of it.
Exactly. I mean, I would invite anyone, whether you're in a transition or not, to think of your spending as an investment every time you spend, right? So mm-hmm. when you spend on your home, you're spending on the investment in your security, right? In your family, mm-hmm. all those things. So mm-hmm. what are you investing in? And it changes, right? So then we sort of look at some things that we spend unintentionally and we say, oh, I don't actually know what I'm investing in. Mm-hmm. And that may be that low-hanging fruit that we talked about earlier, where we can grab it and say, well, if we don't really have a purpose for why we're spending it, then maybe we just put that aside for now during this period of transition where we can feel like we're maximizing the amount of money that we have to take us through a period of this transition to reduce any anxiety or stress.
And you just touched on something that's really cool too, in that paying your mortgage is a priority because it represents security. So this goes back to what we were talking about. What does that money really mean to you, and how does that fit your values? And going out to dinner, there's another level of meaning in that dinner. And so really, this is really great stuff. I did a podcast episode in June on the five steps to managing your search, job search like a project. And the second mm-hmm. point that I brought up was your budget should be guilt-free.
Yes.
So I was saying, you know, on the front end of that, talk to your significant other and lay out what you're going to spend your money on. Because yes. even running a small business, I think, should I spend money on this? What is the purpose? And it's good for me to go through this and not just, you know, buy this or that through AppSumo or whatever that is that I'm
right.
the new shiny object, right?
Yes.
It's
yes.
good to analyze it. But I could also say, oh, you know, I don't think I should spend this money just for the fact I shouldn't spend the money. But if it's going to make my work more efficient and it's going to free me up to do the work that I should be doing, which is helping my clients, I think that's really mm-hmm. important. So I will sit down and my husband and I have, you know, we talk about my business as we talk about any other expenses. And I'll say, you know, and he's very supportive, but I will say too, okay, this makes sense. And this is why, because talking to him about it helps me actually formulate it. So then I have this budget. And my recommendation to job seekers is to have that budget ahead of time, establish it so that when you have to go get a haircut because that's going to make you feel fabulous and you want to look fresh, or you have to go out and buy a new outfit for your interviews, you're not feeling guilty about it, right? And I think we can get right. in that really tight space of like, oh my gosh, I can't spend money because I'm out of a job and it's my fault.
Right. Exactly. And that is why it's really important when you spend your money to think about, you know, that investment type of mentality or the value of what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, I'm getting, you know, that new professional outfit because I want to put my best self forward. And that's where I say, like, 6 months from now, will you be glad that you spent money on that?
Mm-hmm.
Will you look back and say, yes, I did that because this was the purpose? And so it's really, that's why I do talk a lot about values, not necessarily monetary value. Like sometimes that's part of it, right? If you're mm-hmm. talking about investments and the return on investment, but there's also that priceless return on investment. So what is that creating for you? Like if you're in a job search and, you know, you say you were someone that worked at home during COVID and, you know, you don't have any, you know, clothes that are fitting right. And then all of a sudden you're asked to go to an in-person interview that mm-hmm. you've never done before. If you go in with the I can't afford it mindset, mm-hmm. you're going to spend very differently than if you go into the how can I afford it mindset. So that if this outfit, let's say, mm-hmm. or haircut for looking for a job is that important, how do I create money in my life to do that? So that may be mm-hmm. making prioritization choices with your money. That may be, okay, you know what? I usually do this on the weekends. Sometimes we go out, you know, to the movies. Well, it's not really that important. What if I just then prioritize the money mm-hmm. towards this other thing, right? So then it's not that you're cutting things out. You're creating possibility for how to afford things that you really value mm-hmm. and that you won't regret that choice 6 months, a year, 2 years from now.
Yeah.
So that is something that, you know, when you are trying to make those choices during a job search, and I get it, it's tough, right? When you've been used to being paid a paycheck, you know, for, you know, every couple of weeks, every month for years, and then all of a sudden it stops, you have to reset. And yeah. this is one of those ways that you can reset, is really getting clear on, you know, what your values are, what's really important to you at this time, and then creating a spending plan around that.
And is there anything else that you'd want to talk about in terms of budgeting or cutting costs?
I'd like to say is there's two levers when it comes to your money, right? You can make more or spend less. Right. I know that seems very simplistic, but sometimes that's what we have to come down to. So mm-hmm. when you're feeling like you're out of choices, maybe you're not. So what is possible? So in terms of, you know, creating money, mm-hmm. what could you do? Could it be that you take on a side hustle? Could it be that you have things around the house that you just aren't using that you could sell and mm-hmm. that could create a little bit of security for you? Is this, you know, a time to start your own business? I don't know. Is this, and then from a spending side, again, we talked a lot about that in terms of making those priority choices. But I think that's the one thing is just to understand that there are two levers when it comes to money, that making more and spending less. And that when, especially I find with my clients who are professionals who mm-hmm. are really used to getting that consistent paycheck, mm-hmm. sometimes that making money side is a bit of a challenge because they're just so used to this is just what happens. This is just how the machine rolls. And so I'd invite them to just think about possibilities, just throw things on a wall, like just write them down. Crazy as it may seem, that may just be what gives you that sense of security.
Yeah.
What gives you those options.
And, you know, talking about a side hustle or picking up a role that is not necessarily what you were trained for is okay. Yes. You know, especially now. So I know somebody who has a great job. She has a great salary, but she has a big project she's working on. So she started working at Williams-Sonoma and she's having so much mm-hmm. fun. She's posting about it. And I'm thinking to myself, this sounds like so much fun to do one of those short-term jobs that are not related to your high-powered yes. career. And guess what? You don't have to put that on your resume. If you feel that it's related to what you do, that's great, but you don't have to do that. And during the holiday season, a lot of people do go. And I've thought about, you know, there's a whole list of companies. There's Pottery Barn, there's Amazon, there's, you know, anything, you know, maybe Barnes and Noble. And I always thought there would be a couple of places I would work. One would be a bookstore and mm-hmm. one might be a cooking store where they have equipment. And during the holidays, you know, if you work somewhere that you really love or that people in your family really love, you do get those discounts on top of that.
You do.
So, you know, I think it's really, it's topical because we're moving into this holiday season, right?
Absolutely. I mean, really, it's about thinking outside the box. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that, though, you know, if I go back to the way we're thinking and feeling about money, we're often tied up in our identity.
Yes.
Right? I am this professional. I have been doing this for this long. I can't go do that. Mm-hmm. But that's very identity based. If you shift and take that values based approach to think, wow, you know, I would really value being able to just have the funds, the extra funds to be able to have a stress-free holiday season with my family. I had plans to do this, and if I can just create some money over in this area, that would allow me to do that and take the identity part out of it. No one's saying that that's going to be your new identity. Just move and shift your thinking to something else. So that doesn't create a roadblock for you, because sometimes that identity can be that roadblock. And so that's why I really spend a lot of time with my clients just talking about this possibility work. Even though everyone's like, you're a financial coach, why don't you just talk about numbers and cents? That's why. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because we can get so wrapped up in the weeds of money that we don't think of what is possible.
Right.
And what could be great when it comes to money. And that is a perfect example of, hey, let's do something fun over the holidays. I could do this side job. I could create some money here. It doesn't mean that I'm never going to be able to get back to my old profession, but I'm sure going to make it a lot more pleasant in the interim for my family.
Right.
To be able to pay the bills during that time.
And you're putting the fun in funds if it's someplace where you've yes. always thought about working.
For sure. For sure.
I really do think that identity thing is important, because you do get to a certain level and you think, I can't do that. What if somebody sees me doing that? And I hope that our experience with the pandemic has put us in a new place. There are a lot of people who are going through layoffs right now, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And perhaps they're, you know, people are going to go first. They're going to take that step. Other people will see them in those situations. And again, you know, my friend has a great job and she's doing this because it's fun. And I commend her because she's showing other people what fiscal responsibility is.
Right.
Oh, and then one more thing that I wanted to add is that a lot of people don't realize you don't have to include months on your resume. So say you're laid off now and you have a couple of months in the rest of the year to work in whatever role in, you know, say you're working at Home Depot or whatever, and you don't want to include that resume in your resume. You don't have to, because if you're laid off in 2022, regardless of when you start work in 2023, you can end your previous role in 2022 and you start your new job in 2023. Now, when you get down to the application, they're probably going to ask for months. But if you're just sending your resume in, and this is not being deceitful because it's true, but the thing is that nobody's going to ask, oh, I see that you finished your role in 2022 and you started in 2023, because that could be December ending, starting in January with a new role. I think that's just something to keep in mind so people aren't worried.
That's a really good point. And what I like about that is you're looking at it from, you know, I like to ask people to look at the 10,000 foot level, right? Mm-hmm. And look down. Sometimes you're sitting in the weeds and you're saying, well, you know, and you're worrying about months. And meanwhile, that may not be something that ever comes up, mm-hmm. whereas you're looking at the bigger picture, which is really important.
Yeah. I love what you do, Linda. I think you offer such an amazing service. Is there anything else that you wanted to touch on here that we haven't already talked about?
I think we've talked about most of the things when you're going through a transition mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. But I just would like to invite people to think about, when they're looking at their money, is it just about the dollars and cents, or could they actually look at what their relationship is with money? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it's such a point of fear, and we don't look at our money because we're afraid of what it's going to say, or we think money has done bad things to us. Or, you know, could even be thoughts that have come up from when we were younger, the mm-hmm. way we watched our parents manage money. And so we've given ourselves that identity that maybe if our parents didn't do such a great job managing their money, then we can't. And I would just invite people that can change. And we all just look at our money through a lens. Mm-hmm. And sometimes all we need is just to spend time looking at what that lens is. And maybe if there's a way we can clean it and rub off some of the scratches and look at it in a completely different way. And so never to think that the way our money is now is going to be a sign of the way it is in the future. The past is the past, and we have the ability to set whatever course we want going forward when it comes to our finances.
That's a really good tip to close on. Linda, how can people reach you?
Well, they can reach me in a couple of ways. So I spend most of my time in social media on Instagram, and my handle is Peak Prosperity. That's P-I-Q-U-E Prosperity. Or you can visit my website, which is www.peakprosperity.com. Those are probably the two easiest ways to get in touch with me.
And also, you're active on LinkedIn too, right?
I am active on LinkedIn. I'm not as good at it. I am definitely there. So I can be connected with on there if that's your social media of choice. I am there, yes.
Well, Linda, I'd love to have you back at some point, because there are other aspects of finances that we could touch on mm-hmm. in another segment. It's really For great sure. to have you here. I think that you're going to inspire people to kind of get out of their box and just move forward and look at that relationship they have with money. And you've already, you know, you've inspired me to think about money in a different way too. And I thank you for that.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for having me here. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Likewise.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Career Cohort. I'm Emily Wong. You can find all of my podcasts and blog posts at wordsofdistinction.net. And if you'd like to chat about how I can help you define the next step in your career, head over to the same website and book a time on my calendar for a free consultation to discuss how I can help you achieve your goals. Please be sure to share, subscribe, rate, and review so we can continue to bring you great content.